And it is time to get started. So good morning or afternoon, everyone. Welcome once again to emforum.org. I am Amy Sebring and will serve as your moderator today. We are very glad you could join us. And for our first-timers, we will be providing some instructions as we go along so you can relax and participate with us. Our topic today is nation-to-nation tribal relationship building in FEMA Region 7. There are a number of related links on today's background page, including a recent including a recent congressional hearing on emergency preparedness for Native tribes who have been severely impacted by recent flooding and wildfire disasters. There's also a link to an EMI independent study course you may be interested in called Building Partnerships with Tribal Governments, as well as links to the current FEMA tribal policy, the Tribal Homeland Security Grant Program, and legislation currently pending in the House to amend the Stafford Act. Please check out these resources at your convenience. First, for the benefit of our newcomers, we will be beginning with an overview presentation, and then we will proceed to your questions and comments. And let me point out that if you would like to capture a PDF of the slides, you may do so by clicking on the icon of the printer at the bottom right of your screen. Now, if you have any difficulty with live meeting, you may use the feedback drop-down menu at the top right to indicate that, you know, you need help or have a problem with the audio. And then my associates, Sabine Moore and Lori Weber, will monitor that and try to assist you via private messaging. And once you have been helped, please do change your color back to green. We will provide further instructions just before we begin the Q&A, but we ask you not to submit your questions or comments until we do get to that part of the program. We also ask you not to send any private messages to the speaker or moderator, as you can imagine we will be busy with the presentation. We are making a live meeting recording, which should be available later this afternoon, and we are also making audio-only MP3 versions of our programs for your convenience, which you can access directly from our website or by subscribing to a podcast now available from the iTunes store. And the text transcript will be posted early next week. Now, if you're not on our mailing list, you can subscribe from our homepage, and then you will get a notice when these materials are ready. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce today's guest. Scott Weinberg serves as tribal liaison for FEMA Region 7, which includes the states of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. He previously served as a project officer with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Administration for Children and Families, Office of Refugee Resettlement. He also served as a special assistant in the Office of Emergency Preparedness and Response, as well as other previous positions with HHS. Also joining us is Rebecca White, chairwoman of the Ponca Tribe of Nebraska. Becky is a member of the Nebraska Indian Commission, the National Congress of American Indians, the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board, the Native American Indian Education Achievement Council for Omaha Public Schools, and she has been appointed to FEMA's National Advisory Council, a busy lady. Welcome to you both. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. I now turn this floor over to Scott to start us off, please. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you to Avagene and Lori and to Becky for being here. Thanks to the EM Forum for the good light that it sheds on emergency management. FEMA's mission statement, as you can see, it focuses really on working together. It centers on forming partnerships. That's central to FEMA's mission statement. Across the country, there's over 500 federally recognized tribes, so that's a lot of partnerships. And in Region 7, we have 9 federally recognized tribes, the Ponca, the Santee Sioux, the Omaha, Winnebago, Potawatomi, Kickapoo, the Iowa Tribe of Kansas, the Sac and Fox of Missouri, and the Sac and Fox of Mississippi and Iowa. In Region 7, we have a tradition of honoring our partnerships with the tribes. This is a photo of a tribal quilt that was presented to the regional administrator in Region 7 back in 2002. It's hanging at our front door right next to our FEMA Region 7 logo, DHS logo. It was given to us by the tribes at the signing of the 2002 MOU between FEMA Region 7 and the tribes in Region 7. That MOU, it kind of demonstrates that there's a tradition of honoring the partnerships with the tribes here in Region 7. The MOU calls for the establishment of a Tribal Emergency Management Coordinating Council. That's a council that is comprised from representation from each of the 9 tribes in Region 7. And since then, we've also recently established a tribal working group here at FEMA Region 7, where it's comprised of folks who work at FEMA, experts, technical experts from across the FEMA programs. So these two bodies communicate to each other and provide information in a nation-to-nation relationship with the tribe. So if there's issues, concerns, questions regarding mitigation or public assistance, the tribes can communicate directly through this, through their council and our tribal working group. This MOU was based on FEMA policy at that time. Now we have new policy that was crafted in 2010. So we're redoing our MOU with the tribes so that it reflects the current policy. Now the current policy is nation-to-nation policy. This is new policy. And this policy was really underscored by FEMA head, FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate last week in his Senate testimony. He really laid down the new policy in his testimony. The words nation to nation are referenced 11 times in the new FEMA tribal policy. It acknowledges as Mr. Fugate did in his testimony, the inherent sovereignty of the tribes. And this inherent sovereignty is backed up by years and years and layers and layers of legal precedent over the years, over the decades, over the centuries, really. The policy reasserts that tribes have a unique direct relationship with the federal government. It states that tribes are not—they're not local governments. They're not—they're not under local governments, and they're not a political subdivision of the state. In addition, Craig's testimony other issues such as the whole of community approach that FEMA is taking and how important and central tribal relations is to the whole community. FEMA's leadership comes from diverse backgrounds with tremendous on-the-ground experience in emergency response and management and intergovernmental affairs. But our dealings with the tribes really depends on the ability of our leadership to communicate with the tribes and to understand their rich cultural history so that nation-to-nation relations becomes a vital part of FEMA's ability to fulfill its whole community mission. Also, recent improvements in tribal relations in FEMA is the designation of full-time tribal liaisons in FEMA's regional office. Now, I kind of wear two hats. I'm a private sector liaison and tribal liaison. But there's a direction that FEMA is taking to ensure that there is full-time tribal liaison in each region, so that it's a top priority. It's not just something that's done as an aside. It's something that we do full-time. There's a new federal Indian law attorney in FEMA's Office of the Chief Counsel. There's new training at the EMI, the Emergency Management Institute, on tribal emergency management. The EMI is in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Plus, there's funding opportunities through the DHS Tribal Homeland Security Grant Program. Well, what are we doing right now in Region 7? We're working with the tribes directly. We're making every effort to go out into the field and meet directly with the tribes. One of our FCOs is meeting directly with tribes. We're listening to the tribes when we meet with them. They bring to our attention perceptions about procedural obstacles, and we work to remove those obstacles to the extent possible. We provide technical assistance. We make sure that Region 7 program specialists are able at any time to provide technical assistance to the tribes. We make sure that all eligible support is made available to the tribes. And there's a new initiative that is about to be unveiled at ready.gov called Ready Indian Country, which is an initiative that focuses specifically on tribes to enhance tribal readiness. And last but not least, this is really exciting. Pursuant to federal law, the National Advisory Council advises the FEMA administrator on all aspects of emergency government. And our own Ponca chairwoman from Region 7, Becky White, has been appointed by Craig Fugate to the position on the council for elected tribal official. The Ponca tribe has a very large place in tribal history, and it's our very good fortune to have Becky White on the National Advisory Council. Thank you, and I'll, with that, just pass it over to Becky White.
Hello, everyone. I apologize for being late. I was actually had this written down for 1 o'clock, but I'm very excited to be able to participate in this. Of course, the big thing is Nation to Nation, and we luckily have Scott as our tribal liaison for our area, and we are trying to work, as it says, Nation to Nation. Just to give you a little bit of background, the Ponca tribe is actually one of four tribes in the state of Nebraska. The other three all possess reservations. We actually have service areas, and our service counties range from 12 in the state of Nebraska, 1 in the state of South Dakota, and 2 in the state of Iowa. So we have a large service base, and most of our service base includes members from other tribes when it comes to many of our services, since we are in an urban area. About the Ponca tribe, our size has never been large. We date back to about the 1780s. There's history that says we were part of the Omaha tribe at one time. And in 1780, we had about 1,800 members. Then, as we have all experienced hardships, the smallpox hit our tribe, and we were dwindled down to about 200. But we have worked those numbers back up, and our last statistics show that we have about 3,100 members nationwide. A monument step for all the tribes, which is the chief standard bearer, and I consider that the first and foremost of civil rights was that trial. It came about by the government forcing the Native Americans down to Oklahoma and the Trail of Tears. Along that trail, he lost a daughter, and at the end of the trail, he lost a son due to all the issues that came about along the trail. And his son asked before he died that he be buried at the homeland. So Chief Standing Bear and a few of his men began the journey back home. Well, when they hit the Omaha area, they were held captive at Fort Omaha, a fort near Omaha, actually, and that began the trial. And I think we can all relate to the speech that he gave, and I love the statement that he made that is next to the slide, or on the slide, that says that that hand is not the color of yours, but if I pierce it, I shall feel pain. If you pierce your hand, you also feel pain. The blood that will flow from mine will be the same color as yours. I am a man. God made us both. So at that point in time, kind of a history lesson, but also the pertinence of Chief Standing Bear. The next thing that happened to the Ponca tribe is we were the last tribe to be terminated by the federal government in 1966. So, again, we were not considered or recognized by the federal government. It wasn't until October 31st of 1990 that we were restored. And by that time, many of our people had dispersed from our homelands and close to Nebraska, which is our headquarters. And due to that fact, was the reason why we were given service areas as opposed to reservations. In the recent months with the Missouri River flooding, I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood the impact that it is having on our tribes in the area. This is a picture of the Winnebago's Casino, Winnevegas, and it is really hard to believe that they have found a way to reopen the casino after a month. They received and are using three duck boats from the state of Florida, and they have went to the Woodbury County and got it approved, as long as the persons using the ducks sign waivers that the county is not responsible for any accidents. But they are transporting them from where they can park up basically to the sand banks surrounding the casino. So that is set to reopen this week, and I believe that is a great accomplishment of the tribe working with any resources that are available to them, including getting permission from the county. This next slide, which is very hard to believe since I've been at both of these casinos, this is the Casino Omaha, which belongs to the Omaha tribe in the background. And as you can tell, this one will not be reopening, at least anytime soon. The Omaha tribe, I just spoke to their chairman, Eamon Sherman, and on Friday, and he said their tribe has over 12,000 acres underwater. So imagine the impact it has on that tribe and the reason that FEMA and the tribes need to be working directly. The next slide, up in Niagara is Ponca headquarters, and next to it is the Santee Nation. Both of them are on Highway 12, and that was important to see that on both sides of the Niagara, Nebraska, it's actually closed on Highway 12. Highway 12 leads to Santee, so it's affecting their casino and all of their economic development. We have members that have to take, I showed the other slide because there's members that have to take boats to get to this bridge, the Chief Standing Bear Bridge, to be able to move forward with their employment. My own administrative assistant, she drives a four-wheeler partway to work because she's unable to drive on the roads and then she has a car parked so she can take it the balance of the way. But the Highway 12 affects both the Santee Nation and the Ponca Nation. And because the Ponca tribe has service areas, Interstate 29 is one of the main vehicles of transportation in between our service areas. And it connects Omaha to Pottawatomie, to our counties in Iowa. And the first picture is a picture of I-29 just north of Omaha. So that is a road that we are unable to travel at all and do not know how long it will take until things are back to normal. The other picture is a picture of a building in Sioux City. Sioux City is in Woodbury County, which is also one of the Ponca service areas, and they have also been devastated by the flood. Much of the interstate up in that area is also closed. And in between these two, the I-29 connects three out of four of the tribes. Along that corridor of I-29, you have service areas of the Poncas, but in between you have the Winnebago and the Omaha. So it's affecting all of the tribes in Nebraska. And I just wanted to show a picture. This is our community building that was built many, many years ago. It's on the historical site. And I just think it's one of the great things that shows what the tribes and federal government can do when they come together. We still utilize this building today for funerals and sometimes tribal council meetings, and it's available for our Cook, Sterner, Powell. So it's a very important part of our history, but it's very important to know that that building would not have come about had it not been for the federal government working with the tribes. And I have been recently appointed to the FEMA NAC board, and I look forward to my orientation on August 31st. I have been making almost weekly calls to them to see what I can do as a tribal representative, because I know we're not the only tribes that have come into hard times. And then the actual training for the FEMA NAC board, the first conference is set for September 26th through 28th. So if there are any tribes that have issues that I need to bring forward or need to be aware of, please do not hesitate to contact me. I did include what FEMA NAC was established and is supposed to do for the tribes, and I'd just like to read that statement. The National Advisory Council was established to ensure effective and ongoing coordination of federal preparedness, protection, response, recovery, and mitigation for natural disasters, acts of terrorism, and other man-made disasters such as this flood. That covers a lot. Our tribes are going through a lot. Our country is going through a lot, and I just want to make sure that I am as big a resource as I can be for our tribes when it comes to this capacity. And I would just like to end with this is a nation-to-nation stand. And Scott and I would like to open it up to any questions and answers at this time.
Thank you very much to both of you, Scott and Becky. Now we will proceed to our Q&A. And to submit your comment or to ask a question, you just click on Q&A from the top menu, and then just type in the top half of the box that opens up and click on Ask or hit Enter. Now, there is a hand-raising feature there, but we do not use that. When you click on Ask, your comment or question does not go directly to the screen. Instead, it goes to an administration panel where I will monitor that and announce who the question is from and read the question aloud, and then our guests will respond by the conference bridge. And at that point, I will type in a OK, which will release the text of the question to the Q&A panel. And note, you can only submit one question or comment at a time. Please try to keep your question or comment related to today's topic and reasonably concise. And if you can direct your question to either Scott or Becky by name, please do so. And we, of course, are especially interested in hearing about any experience you may have had with tribal issues in your area. We are ready to begin now, so please enter your comment or question at any time. And it looks like we have a couple ready to go. This question is for Becky from Isabel McCurdy, and she says she's not exactly clear on what your service area means. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, please, Becky?
Yes, I will. As most tribes have reservations, since we were terminated for nearly 30 years, when they did reinstate us as a tribe, they could not give us our reservation area back because we did not have enough population. So they went according to our population at the time that we were reinstated to give us counties as service areas, which would be considered our quote reservation. So we actually have 15 different counties within our area that could make up what would be considered a reservation for another tribe.
Great, thanks, Becky. Mm-hmm. I have a question from Chris Little, who says, thank you for the presentation. Two questions, please, and I will release this so you can review the text. What are the largest challenges faced by tribal nations in regards to getting disaster response and recovery information out to both community leaders and the general public, and where can federal recovery programs improve in this regard to meet the needs of tribal nations? And Becky, if we'll start with you, please, and then we'll ask Scott to chime in on the federal recovery in particular.
Okay. When it comes to the largest challenges, I believe that comes with communication and knowing who to contact and how to get things done. Now that we each have a tribal liaison representative, I think that's the greatest place to start. I would like any involvement that I could at this point so that I understand all the needs of all tribal nations. And I know that sounds like a lot, but I want to do as much as I can for all the tribes. Again, challenges come mainly from lack of communication, and I think some of the tribal liaisons have taken a great approach by actually going out into our communities and understanding our needs.
And Scott, would you like to chime in here, please?
Yeah, I think from my experience so far, one of the main challenges is it's helping tribes in a partnership to empower the tribe to become more familiar and functional with what they're able to do to leverage resources. FEMA has a tribal legal council now, and so it's a function of communication and partnership, but one of our greatest strengths, I think, is we have a federal tribal liaison who recently visited tribes. His name is Richard Flores, and he was on the call. He wanted to greet everybody and say hello. He's over in the western part of the country right now, but experts like this who can help tribes become familiar with the legal tools that they have at their disposal as a sovereign nation. That's a challenge and an opportunity. And I think when tribes begin to realize what it means legally to be a sovereign nation, things start to happen, as opposed to calling up an official in the federal government saying, how can you help me? I need help. Saying we are tribal, we are sovereign. This is what we want pursuant to, you know, policy and everything that is eligible to us. The other thing is there's always all sorts of complications with grant applications and requirements, grant requirements, dealing with the federal government. I have some grant experience, and the process is lengthy, and there's a lot of paperwork, and it's very, you know, there's a lot of paperwork. So if a tribe has a grant expert, someone familiar with grant process, that's very helpful too.
And with respect to the second part of the this question on the federal recovery programs, Scott, I understand that now the tribes may, for the public assistance program, and that means the grant program that helps rebuild roads and so and infrastructure, that the tribes now may opt to be the direct grantee from FEMA versus going through the state. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, and that's certainly an option that a tribe has. And if they choose that option, what we provide is information to make sure that they know all of the requirements. It's the tribe's choice to go that route if they choose. And it's our role really to provide the pros and cons of and the requirements of whatever way the tribe wishes to go. That's an opportunity a tribe has.
Thanks. Let's go to the question.
So
Becky, I'm sorry, Becky, did you want to add to that?
Yes, I did. When it comes to the pros and cons, are those ones that are nationwide, or is it tribe by tribe?
Well, it's if a tribe, we can provide more information on this. They're standard across the nation. There are just standard federal requirements. If a tribe wishes to work as a grantee directly with FEMA as opposed to working through a state. The tribe has to get more involved, but our role is to provide just clear guidance on the pros and cons of each and to, you know, to help the tribe make its own decision and to support whatever decision the tribe makes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, a question for Becky. Lisa Shulman asks, what does your tribe have in terms of emergency management resources? Do you have your own police force, fire service, or other emergency management services?
Because of our status with service areas, we do not. We don't have a reservation. We are mixed of urban and rural counties. And so we have to do contracts with most of the areas in which we're in. We do have our own tribal court, and we're able to enforce laws through our tribal court, but our system is set up a little bit different because of our service areas.
Right. One for Scott from David Zucchetti. I hope I didn't butcher your name, David. He asks, how does FEMA reconcile their policy to treat Indian tribes as co-equal nations, which is consistent with general legal precedent or nation to nation, and the Stafford Act that treats tribes as local governments?
Dave, good question, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
The nation to nation for the current FEMA tribal policy, it means really opening the door to direct communication with the tribe, whether it's pre-disaster planning or providing technical assistance for federal assistance that a tribe can is eligible for, or coordinating with our other federal agencies. If in instances FEMA program funding isn't available to a tribe, another federal agency may be able to assist, such as USDA or Bureau of Indian Affairs, Small Business Administration. So it's supporting that direct tribe to federal government direct communication. Even if a tribe needs assistance with some administrative requirement that comes from a state or a local government. There are legislative initiatives. There's a House Bill 1953, which Dave, I believe, is an attempt to close the gap of contradiction on the point you raise, that would enable tribes to request disaster assistance directly from the President of the United States. So I think that answers the question.
Yes, and I just did want to, in case David did not hear it in the beginning in the intro, we do have a link to that legislation on today's background page, and it's in the House Transportation Subcommittee on Emergency Management, apparently. Okay. I have a question for Becky from Bill Salinkas, who asks, Becky, what means will you use to share information presented within the NAC with other tribes, and how will you solicit information from tribes around the country?
Good questions. The first one, how will I plan to share the information with other tribes? I believe that can be handled with either a blog or a website, and I think that would be needed. The only thing is I need to make sure that it will be approved by FEMA, because I'd love to be able to get communication going through that way. That way, if somebody has a question, we could put it on a blog, answer it that way. And then, I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
Okay, let's see, and probably the same answer, wants to know how you can plan to solicit input from the other tribes around the country.
And that I would also like to provide my email and email address and telephone number to everyone. Can we add that to the page?
Yes, and I was going to ask you if you wanted to do that during the closing, and we will get that in the transcript, and in fact, in our follow-up announcement on our mailing list, we can include that information.
Okay.
If that works for you.
Yes.
Okay, great. Another question. This also relates to the National Advisory Council, which people should understand is kind of a policy body that, you know, provides input to FEMA on policy. But Michael Brazel asks, will the National Advisory Council focus on the implementation of NIMS, that's the National Incident Management System, to the tribes across the country? And do the tribes understand they must adopt NIMS for preparedness grant funding? And this is Mike says he's a NIMS coordinator for Region 1. And maybe you could take that one, Scott?
Tribes, by and large, do understand that, and in Region 7, we provide technical assistance to tribes to ensure that to support their efforts to be NIMS compliant.
Okay. Question from Chris Little, to clarify his previous question, or no, clarify something you stated, Scott. He says, when you say that, quote, communication is the biggest challenge, is that communication in terms of mechanisms, for example, limited ability for outreach due to limited internet access, et cetera, or by way of lacking person-to-person relationships that can facilitate the flow of information? And perhaps you just want to expand a little bit on, you know, the partnership idea.
It's a good question. It's both. There's this phrase, it's called cultural competencies. It's kind of a technical term. I know post-Katrina, one of the lessons learned was cultural competencies when FEMA and other federal staff deploy into a community. You get a better recovery and response footing as a federal agency when you're to the degree that you have cultural competencies. So that's really a cold way of saying that you understand who you're speaking to in a meeting with tribes. You understand who they are as people. People come from diverse cultural backgrounds. They may be part of a tradition. Their culture may have unique things that are slightly different than the typical family that lives in Johnson County. Olathe, where I live, typically there's a different cultural history than a tribal family that lives in the Santee Nation. We just come from different walks of life. So it's been fascinating to me to meet tribal leaders as people and to go in and see the pictures on their wall, the pictures of their past leaders who were by and large family members, related personally to the people who you're meeting with. This is all really important. The other part of communication is when it's nation to nation. I had some experience in local government where I was a county supervisor, and your neighbor would come into the boardroom, and he's almost your best friend, but he doesn't speak to you as a buddy. He speaks to you in government language, and the tribal relations between FEMA, the federal government, and tribes, it has both aspects. It has this cultural understanding as well as people who are well versed in how nations speak to each other, so that when a tribal leader sends a letter to the regional administrator or to the White House, they need to know what to say so that we need to know so that we can respond. So it's two things, and it's both really, I think they bring out the best in what our governments can do together.
May I add to that?
Sure.
Communication, I think, is always a challenge when it comes to tribal government. So many of the times I think we try to look for the resources and the resolutions internally. And I think the mindset of thinking externally and looking at all the resources and becoming aware, and just I think there's an education factor that will go with that. And I look forward to learning all of that, but being able to trust and experience and get exposure to the different resources that are out there. Some we may know of, some we may not, but I think that's part of the challenge when it comes to communication.
And speaking of resources, I have a comment, question from Ava Jean. And she says, I am a member of the International Association of Emergency Managers. I am. They have a tribal caucus chaired by Charles Kmet. I think that's how you say it. Maybe not. Are you involved with their efforts? I believe you and other tribal representatives could help promote tribal issues if you're agreeable to an affiliation with these folks. And we can follow up, Becky, if you would like more information about that tribal caucus. Would you be interested in that?
Yes, I would.
All righty. Very good. I think this one's a question for Scott. It's from Patricia Rippey. She asks, does FEMA have a tribal policy for the National Flood Insurance Program? If so, when was it issued?
Well, we don't have a specific policy for that, I believe, but what we do provide are technical experts from the program here in Region 7 to communicate the requirements and the details, the ins and outs of that. And often it's, for example, in Iowa, we had a recent meeting with local officials on NFIP. And a lot of the questions were just from homeowners about their own private flood insurance. And our chief was able to just answer those questions. And so we have a number of venues and outreach efforts to communicate and answer questions and to describe the details of that program. The policy is overarching. It covers all of FEMA. And so pursuant to that tribal policy, if there's a flood insurance issue involving a tribe, what we'll do typically is convene the tribal work group and the council and open up a nation-to-nation dialogue that way.
And I'd like to also point out, I did watch the hearing, Senate hearing last week. We do have a link to that on our background page. And this is one of the topics that was discussed in that hearing during Administrator Fugate's testimony. The challenges that some of the tribes with reservations have in terms of meeting the basic requirements for adopting and enforcing the basically the floodplain management ordinances and mapping issues. And so I just wanted to refer folks to that if they want to get a little more information on that. Okay, I've got another three questions here. One from Bill Salinkas for Scott. He says, do you anticipate, like any problems with the nation-to-nation approach that FEMA is implementing to affect the state-to-tribal relationships that may already be in place? Are you aware of any actions being taken by FEMA to include the states in this change, in these relationships?
The nation-to-nation policy is a relationship between a sovereign nation and the federal government. And out of respect to that relationship and the sovereignty of a tribe, what FEMA does to respect that is to provide assistance and information, technical assistance, to listen to support a decision that a tribe wants to make in how to pursue assistance, whether that's supporting a tribe in its relationship with the state or some other way. It's critical to FEMA to support the tribe. That's the core of our relationship. A state isn't a sovereign nation. A local government isn't a sovereign nation, and a state isn't a political subdivision of a state. However, FEMA has intergovernmental affairs specialists, and the role of tribal relations requires a great deal of diplomacy and ambassadorship on the part of FEMA liaisons, and so it's a constant, I wouldn't say battle, but it's an opportunity to support states in their desire to strengthen their relationships with tribes, and I hear stories from tribes where they don't feel that they are treated as a sovereign nation by the state. So that is it's, you know, it's important to hear that and to just to provide support to the tribe with whatever way they want to pursue assistance.
Okay. Question for Becky, I believe, another one from Ava Jean. She asked, is disaster preparedness training available in your schools and to the community at large through CERT, that's the Community Emergency Response Team, for example? Are tribal members amenable to this type of training?
We actually have a unique situation with our tribe because we have different administrative offices in different cities, including Omaha, Lincoln, Norfolk, and Sioux City in Iowa, and then we have Niobrara, Nebraska, which is our headquarters. Our Omaha facility consists of an IHS facility, so we do have disaster preparedness for each of our offices. But, again, our situation is unique. We do not have any reservation schools because we do not have a reservation. The balance of the tribes in Nebraska do have schools on the reservation. But when it comes to disaster preparedness, we do as much as we can, but we do have to look at our situation as opposed to if we are in urban or rural areas.
And you, I believe you said IHS, is that the Indian Health Service?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Speaking of training, I'd like to ask one more for Scott. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I wondered if, as I mentioned in the beginning, we have the link to an independent study course on tribal relationships offered by EMI. Can you kind of describe some of the other training that is available from EMI, Scott? Scott, are you there? Are you on mute?
yeah, hi.
Go ahead.
I was on mute.
Yeah, I thought that was.
Yeah, EMI covers a wide range of training, and so it's important to beef up the training for tribal issues. It's, you know, by and large, there's sort of universals or things which are consistent in the tribal training on tribal issues, but it's, you know, it's specialized for tribal issues, and it's current. It's currently updated, you know, when changes take place, and so these are really good training opportunities. Even the ICS training online that FEMA provides is really good training for anyone who is involved with tribal issues, because there's just kind of universal things across the board that that are common for everyone involved in FEMA emergency management.
Okay, I have one more from Chris Little. I think he's referring to the legislation that we mentioned a little bit ago, and he says, can you please give a brief description of the pending changes, updates to the Stafford Act, to which you alluded at the beginning of the presentation, and speculate on their impacts to tribal nations?
Well, there is legislation, and there has been legislation in the past, it hasn't gone to markup yet. It's, you know, we don't advocate as federal employees, we don't advocate for or against legislation, but the legislation appears to be very straightforward. It would simply, I think if you boil it all down, and forgive me if I botch something here, or you can certainly find it online, but it basically would enable a tribe to request federal disaster assistance directly to the White House, as opposed to Stafford Act works through the state. The governor of a state needs to request that. So Imagine in the state of Nebraska, if there were a disaster that just had a huge impact on a tribe and only a tribe, or a disaster that had a relatively humongous impact on a tribe, but an impact on a non-tribal area that didn't overwhelm the local response. And since tribes are autonomous nations and communities, they're in a sense, maybe you could see that they're more vulnerable. And so I think that the legislation, which it hasn't gone to markup yet, I understand, it's just something that would make that change, so that under the Stafford Act, a tribe could request, and the president could approve. FEMA could assess impacts in preliminary damage assessments just based on the tribal request, then the president could make that determination. So at least some tribes wouldn't think then that it was not being approved because a governor didn't request it.
Good. I think that explains it pretty well. I think it is just about time to start wrapping up for today. I did want to ask if Mr. Flores is still on the line with us. Did he want to say hello? I'm not sure he's still with us. We'll give him the opportunity. Thank you so much, Scott and Becky. We definitely appreciate your taking the time to be with us today and share this information, and we wish you much success in the future as you go forward with your efforts, and best of luck on that National Advisory Council, Becky.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll do a wonderful job for folks. Before folks run off, we do ask you to very quickly fill out some comments, a rating as to relevance, and again, the video and audio recordings will be available later this afternoon. If you're not on our mailing list and would like to get these notices, just go to our homepage and subscribe. Also, if your organization is interested in becoming an EIIP partner, please use the link from our homepage or one that is included in your email announcements. And we certainly would be delighted to welcome tribal partnerships. Our next program will take place Wednesday, August 10th. Please watch for announcement and plan to be with us then. Until next time, thanks for everyone to everyone for participating today. Thanks for the great questions and comments that we got. Have a great afternoon. We are adjourned. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.